each one of you here this evening and hope that you have come desirous to hear the message of the Lord. My father-in-law has returned home from a trip to Mexico, and I'm certain he felt while he was there the blessing of the Lord, as we know the Lord blesses us in our efforts to serve Him. So excited to hear what he has to bring to us tonight. So I give you Elder Kenor.
Thank you, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. Like Adam said, the Lord blessed us when I was in Mexico. He always does. It's a joy to minister to our brothers and sisters there. Tonight I'm going to give a sermon that I basically gave in Mexico. When I heard that Brother Jay was going to Missouri this weekend, in the back of my mind, I had this inclination that I'll probably be standing up here tonight. And then Brother Gary called me, I believe it was Thursday evening, and asked me to preach. So I was an unexpected call. Excuse me. I don't know about you, but when I think about this gospel, think about Christ, think about our relationships, sometimes I forget the power of the words of Christ. I'm going to read a scripture. It's in Romans chapter 1. And to me, it's one of the most powerful scriptures, verses there is. It's simple, but if you really think about it when it hits you, it's one of the most powerful scriptures that we have. And it's the 16th verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Simple words. And I ponder those sometimes. Why? Why is the gospel of Jesus Christ the power of God to salvation? The gospel of Christ is the words of Christ. It's His doctrine. It's the power of His salvation. You know, Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. And He came for many reasons. But in reality, He came for one reason and one reason only. He came to hang upon that cross and to give His life. To shed His blood that you and I can have a hope of eternal life with Him in the heavens. That's why He came. He came to die, to be resurrected, to break the bands of death, and through His blood, and only through the blood of Christ, do we have the hope of salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us about the blood of Christ, tells us about that hope, tells us how we can obtain salvation in His kingdom. Someone pointed out to me one time, and it was kind of a simple thing. You know, we say, through Jesus Christ we have eternal life. True statement. But in reality, we all have eternal life with or without Christ. We live forever. The only choice you have, the only choice I have, is where I'm going to spend that eternity. I can reject Christ, I can reject His words, I can reject His love, I can reject His salvation, and I'll have eternal life, but I won't have it with Him. Or I can embrace the gospel. I can embrace this gospel of Jesus Christ. I can embrace His love. I can embrace His sacrifice. I can keep His commandments, and I can endure to the end. and have eternal life. That's the promise. That's the promise of God. This gospel that we have, that we hold, and I sometimes think we don't hold it as the precious thing that it is. This gospel that Christ gave us is His power. Through those words, we have salvation. You know, he came to this earth and he preached the gospel. He built his church. He called his ministry. He gave us his example. I read some time that in this nation alone, there's about 3,500 different churches. So I presume there's 3,500 different gospels of Christ. Different plans of salvation, different roads that lead, presumably, to heaven. But you know, as we read the scriptures, we don't find 3,500 different churches. We don't find 3,500 different gospels. We don't find 3,500 different paths that lead to eternal life with God. We find one. We find one. He said in Matthew, we don't need to turn to it, but he says, I will build my church. Upon this rock, upon the rock of Christ, he will build his church. Brothers and sisters, this is his church. This is the church that he built 2,000 years ago. The church that Satan, for 2,000 years, has tried to destroy. But God, in these latter days, has restored it to the earth. With all the gifts, with all the powers that those original 12 disciples received. Those original 12 apostles, those original 12 disciples in this land received the powers of heaven. The powers of heaven, brothers and sisters, are in this church of Christ. It's the only church. It's the only gospel of salvation that was ever preached. And I'm not going to go into that. That's not the purpose of my sermon tonight. But no, it's a simple gospel. There's nothing complicated about his words. He spoke plain to the understanding of men. You know, in reality, the gospel of salvation is only 7 words. It's only 7 words. Faith, repentance, baptism, endure to the end. That's the gospel of salvation. There's nothing complicated about it. We have faith. We believe in God. We believe in His Son. We trust Him. We trust Him that if we put our faith in Him, if we believe in Him, if we follow Him, the promise is sure. The promise is sure that we have eternal life. We must repent. You know, the word repent, it means to change. To change. We change our thinking. We change our life. We change how we do things. And of course, we're baptized for the remission of sins. And it's an act of humility. You know, Christ, perfect. That perfect man was baptized. Why? To fulfill all righteousness, to show us the path, to show us the door to eternal life. Showed us that we must be humble. He was humble before his Father. Perfect. He didn't need it. But he was humble to show us the only way of salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. You know, Christ taken down from that cross. He's not there anymore. He was put in a tomb. Many of us, and I believe that we were in the tomb that they laid our Savior. He's not there. In fact, they had a sign over the door. He says, He's risen. He is risen. He broke the bands of death. You know, without Christ, you know, for 4,000 years, more or less, we were separated from God. We had no hope. We had no hope. But Christ came and he broke the bands of death and he gave all mankind hope of eternal life. That's why we're here. That's why we're sitting here tonight. That's why we came this morning. We came because we have hope. No guarantees. There's no guarantees for any one of us that we'll make it. But we have that hope. And the promise is if we endure to the end, if we endure to the end, we have salvation. You know, many of us watched the funeral service for our brother Sheldon today. He endured to the end. I believe for 95 years, he endured to the end. He received his reward. In the 10th chapter of John, no, the 4th chapter of John. Let's go to the 4th chapter first. 4th chapter of John. I'm going to begin at the 10th verse. I'm going to actually begin at the 9th verse. John chapter 4. Excuse me. I'm going to begin at verse 9. I'm going to read through 14. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and the children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus Christ came to give us life, to give us everlasting life. I'm going to turn to the 10th chapter of John. I'm going to read the 10th verse. John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to give us abundant life. In the eternal life, we're going to have life beyond our wildest imaginations. But I believe that he came to give us a more abundant life here. Oh, he didn't come to take our trials, our tribulations, our temptations, our sadness, our sickness, our struggles. He didn't come to take those away. But he came to help us deal with them, to help us overcome this life, that we can have a more abundant life. You know, I think of people whose loved ones have passed away that had no hope, had not Christ in their lives. I don't know, honestly, I don't know how they dealt with it. You know, personal experience, it was difficult even with Christ in my life. I can't imagine somebody without Christ dealing with the sorrows that we have, or the trials that we have, or the afflictions that we have. We've had testimonies this morning of people testifying of how God has been with them in the trials of their life and the sicknesses of life. He came to give us life more abundantly. You know, we're trading a second in eternity for that eternity. This life seems long sometimes, you know. I have long days, you know. But when it's all said and done, it's a vapor. It's a vapor, you know. Well, Marlene and I were married 41 years. You know, it's a vapor. It's a vapor. It passed so quickly. It's just a vapor. The Book of Mormon, the people of Lehi said, our life has been a vapor. And what do we have to show? All we have to show is our love and our dedication and our service to God. That's all we have. Nothing in this world we can take with us. Except our love for God. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28, and it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Through the blood of Jesus Christ we have hope." That's the promise. Promise of God is hope. I'm going to, second book of Nephi in the 13th chapter. And as you all know, I love this chapter. This chapter takes us from our life in the world, our serving Satan, takes us through our transformation to a life serving Christ. This is where it tells us that Christ was baptized for our example. He was baptized to show humility, to show us that gate. Shows us that we're baptized for the remission of our sins and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that precious gift. No other gift that we have is as precious other than eternal life. The testimony of God to us that they are real, that He is real, that Jesus Christ is real. His testimony to us that our faith is not vain. We heard this morning, you know, we felt the power of that Spirit in our hearts today, the touch of that Spirit. That's God's witness to us. People have been overcome by the power of that Spirit. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I'm going to begin at verse 24. 2 Nephi 13, 24 says, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance by and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." You know, we read in Isaiah. I'm not going to turn to it, but the first chapter of Isaiah, the Lord says to us, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Well, we're not reasoning with Him. He's reasoning with us. He's saying, you do this, you obey, you follow me, your sins will be made white. One time deal? No. Every day. It's a daily thing. So I don't think any of us here, I don't know, I can't raise my hand and say I've gone through one day of my life that I haven't done something wrong. Offended God in some way that I need to get on my knees. Ask forgiveness. I found in my life, sometimes the harder we try, the more Satan works with it, and that's just probably a truism. But as I get on my knees, and if I'm lazy, I may have to get up lazy in the morning, and oh man, I just don't want to go through this whole, you know. I'm just going to say a quick prayer today because I got a million things I got to do and away I go. And Lord, forgive me. Well, probably every one of us have used that statement. Lord, forgive me my sins. I thank you for what you've given me and bless and amen. Okay? But I found in my life that I commit a sin. He wants me to tell him. I can go to him. He knows. He knows my heart. He knows what I did. He knows the sins that I committed. I have no idea I did. But he wants me, at least the ones that I'm aware of, to tell him, to admit them, to say them, to come face to face with that sin in my life. It's easy. It's just like texting. Just like texting. We can talk to people all over the place, and it's easy to say whatever we want because there's no visual. There's no visual. We can be abstract. But we have to come face to face with God. At some time, we can either do it today, in the privacy of our closet, we can go face to face with God and say, God, I did this. Please forgive me. on that final judgment day, we are going to stand face to face with him. Every one of us will stand face to face with our Savior and say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I hope we don't say that. I hope we can go in boldness. That's the hope. That's the hope that we have in the gospel of salvation, that we can be presented pure. You know, God said no sin can enter heaven. Only through the merits and the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ do we have hope. Anyway, going back to the Book of Mormon, and it said, verse 25, it says, "And then are ye in the straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life, and ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son." That's what God has commanded us to do, to have faith, to repent, to be baptized, and enter into that road that leads to that tree of life. That road that leads to eternal life in the heavens. "And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto fulfilling the promise which he has made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive." He promised that. You know, in Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, it says, baptisms. Baptisms, two. One is by water for the remission of sin. The other is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now we come to a hard question, perhaps. Verse 27, "And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." Are we done? I mean, you know, 43, 44 years ago, I was baptized. Am I done? Was I done then? Yeah. More recently, people have been baptized. Had some baptisms, I believe, in Africa. Are they done? No. They've just begun. They've just begun. Yeah. Some of us walk a long time in this path, you know. Brother Sheldon, probably, I don't know, 80-some years. Some of us shorter, you know. It's all done. "We've begun this path, and behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ." Didn't we? We read someplace about this gospel of Jesus Christ. We've come this far because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. "Save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who was mighty to save." Relying wholly upon him. I can't do it. You can't do it. None of us can do it on our own. It's only in him. Only in him. Faith. Didn't we hear about faith and trust this morning in our service? We've got to trust him. It looks black, it looks dark, it looks dreary, and it is. But we have to trust him. You know, I'll be honest with you, my last year has been a hallway. And sometimes that hallway has been lit up, and other times it gets a little murky. Lose my focus. Lose my direction, maybe. But you know something? All I have to do is reach out, and God is there to take my hand and help me through those moments. And then the hallway gets brighter. Relying wholly on the merits of Christ. "Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ..." Oh, feasting. Well, we all can conjure up a definition of feasting. Thanksgiving dinner, a Christmas dinner. Breakfast. I feast on breakfast sometimes. "And endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father..." Here's the promise. Here's our hope. Here's what Christ came to give us. "Ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brother, and this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God." No other way. We can't be saved by our own works. We can't be saved by doing anything else. but relying wholly on the merits of Christ, by obeying his doctrine, by obeying his commandments. What do we read in Romans? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. You know, we have a hope of a better life. You know, this life, it can be pretty bad. You know, and I think of some of our brothers and sisters who struggle. And compared to them, my life has been fairly easy. You know, a few bumps here and there, a few pains, a few heartaches, trip and fall a few times. But you know, I haven't had to endure, perhaps like they have. But we all have to endure to the end. Moroni chapter 7. Verse 45. Moroni 7. Verse 45. And again, my beloved brother, and I would speak unto you concerning hope. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about hope. Hope in the gospel of Christ. Hope in salvation. Hope in Jesus Christ. Talking about hope. Talking about a hope of eternal life that we just read is the promise of God to us. He will give us eternal life. God can't lie. That's, you know, this world, you can't believe anything anybody says. But we can believe the word of God. God can't lie. He can't. It's impossible. Impossible for God to lie. So if he said we're going to have eternal life, you can pretty much take that to the bank and deposit it. Anyway, and this, how is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. And the promise is eternal life from God. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. If we don't have faith in God, if we don't believe in God, if we don't trust him, if we don't believe that he came and he died, and through him, through his atonement, that we have eternal life, then we don't have any hope. We have no hope. If we have no hope, we're above all men most miserable. We have hope because we have faith. Let's hold it precious. I think sometimes, and we don't hold this gospel of salvation as the precious gift that God has given us. We, sitting here, we're the people of God. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying that to lift anybody up. We are the people of God. He chose us. I certainly, 45 years ago, did not choose God. I was walking the ways of the world. I could see a couple other people in here. I don't think they chose God. God chose us. He saw something in us. He saw something in every one of us. And he called out, come, come. We accepted the call. We became part of his chosen people. We need to live it like we are. We need to act like we believe we are. We need to hold this as the precious gift that God has given us. And again, I say unto you that you cannot have faith and hope save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. Didn't we read? Well, I didn't read it, but I referred to it back in Moroni. Christ himself was baptized because why? Because he was meek and he was lowly in heart. He chose. You know, Paul in one place he said, Christ didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but Christ chose. Got all the power in the universe. Created the heavens and the earth. gave us eternal life, walked on water. All this power, he chose to humble himself before his Father. Can we do less? Every single day of our life. Can we do less than to be humble before our Heavenly Father? Read the book. And I haven't finished it, so I don't know exactly what the end of it's going to be. But part of it is that pride is one of the most destructive emotions that we have. Pride. I'll let you think about that for a while. Anyway, meek and lowly in heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. We're not humble. Our faith is vain. Our hope is vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. To me, being meek and lowly in heart means that I'm going to submit everything in my life to God. And I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, that is not easy. If we decide to submit to God everything, that is not easy. You've got to backpedal a little bit. Got to yield to our brothers and sisters. We need to be meek, lowly in heart, humble. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And I'm not going to read what charity is, but I would advise you to go home and you read that. Okay, what? Well, I'm going to read it. And charity suffereth long. I'm not going to discuss it at all. I'm just going to read it. It's kind. Envieth not, not puffed up, seeks not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. We've got to have every one of those. Every one of those attributes of charity must be in our hearts. Some of them are easy, you know. Yeah, I mean, I know people who never get angry. Well, at least I've never seen, they probably do, but they're not easily provoked. That's easy for them, but maybe it's difficult for them to believe all things or to hope all things. We need to work on, some of these are easier for us than others, and some are very difficult. There's couple in there that I have to work at. But we need to work at it. God's not going to just hand charity to us. I believe he gave us this verse. He gave us the same verse in Corinthians. Okay, guys, this is what you need to be. You got to work on this. This is your homework assignment for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. This is your assignment. This is what you got to work on. You got to work towards this pure love of Christ. Because wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Interesting. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of the Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. That's the bottom line of this power of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make us pure. We're purified through obedience to the word. We're purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Purified. That's what Christ came for, to give us hope. Not to despair in this life, not to be downtrodden, not to be discouraged, not to fear, but to have hope. Hope. Let's go to Mosiah chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Mosiah. It is a familiar scripture. We all know it. Chapter 2 of the book of Mosiah, verse 9. I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his longsuffering towards the children of men and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of this mortal body, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation. Promise of God. Salvation. That's our hope. Through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world, and this is the means whereby salvation cometh, and there is none other salvation, save this which has been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. And you find those same words here as in this Bible. Faith, repentance, baptism, endure to the end. That's the gospel of salvation, brothers and sisters. We all know that. Believe in God. Must have faith. Believe that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that he must repent of your sins and forsake them. Well, that's part of repentance. We have to forsake them. It's not, you know, doesn't mean good to repent of them if we're not going to forsake them. Change our thoughts, change our thinking, change our life. Forsake the world. Forsake the world. And humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Another promise found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I think sometimes when we walk through this life, then we kind of forget. We kind of forget who God is, that God is always there, that we are his people. He holds us in his hand. Yeah. He holds us. He guards us. He guides us. He keeps us. And sometimes we think, well, where'd he go? He hasn't moved. If he's gone someplace, it's us that's moved to the next street. His address has always been the same. Anyway, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Ooh. Interesting. Jesus Christ himself is standing before his God, pleading our case, making intercession. Oh, I forgave him. He's repented. He's changed his life. Please forgive him. He's making intercession for us. He's going to God on our behalf. The Spirit, that's another thing about that Spirit of God. Spirit goes to God with groanings that cannot be, in my words, uttered, understood for us. For us. It's not just our brothers and sisters who are praying for us. It's not just our own prayers. We got the Holy Spirit going to God for us. We got Jesus Christ himself going to God, being, what's it say? Intercession. Making intercession. Going on our behalf. Taking the blame. He took the blame. He hung on the cross. He took the blame for your sin. No wonder he sweated blood. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at that moment? I think about this sometimes. I can't. I can't imagine at that moment the weight. And I believe that's why he sweat drops of blood. The weight of the sins of the world was upon him, crushing him. And he did it. He did it for us. Sins of the world. So even today, he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from Christ? Who's going to separate us from that love? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And I believe these are all things that these old ancient brothers faced maybe on a weekly basis. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel of salvation is the power of God. Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Help, I went to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If we finish our course, if we keep the faith, if we put up a good fight, we have a crown. A crown of righteousness that shall not fade away. It'll never disappear. First Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to begin at verse 50. It'd be good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. We've got to keep that in mind in our daily lives. The sting of death, that which is going to kill us, is sin. Sin is our enemy. Sin is our death. Sin is our pain. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have the victory. Someday, we will stand before Christ. And we'll give an account of everything that we have done. Christ knows our hearts. He knows our minds. I can fool you. You can fool me. We can fool each other. You know, but we can't fool God. We cannot fool God in this life or the next one. You know, just as Amy read tonight, you go and you're trying to get more oil. Guess what? You come back and that door's closed. And it's God that closed the door. You know, when Noah built the ark, guess who closed the door? It wasn't Noah. God closed the door, because I'm sure that Noah had relatives out there. He had friends out there, people he'd known for 100 years or more. Let me in. I would be tempted to let them in. God. He's the one that shut that door and said, no, you're not coming in. You disobeyed my servant. You disobeyed my commandments. You're not coming in. The foolish virgins, they came and they banged on that door. Let me in, let me in. You can't come in, I'm sorry. You know, and as she was reading, I can just imagine the pained look on Master's face when he has to say those words. You can't come in. Another place he says, depart from me. People who claimed that they cast out devils and they did all these wonderful miracles in the name of Christ, he says, I don't know who you are. Get away. I don't know you. I don't know what the reason is, for whatever reason, but part of it is probably weren't humble. They have to be humble. We have to be the humble followers of Christ. At the final call, he's going to look and he's going to see whether we're the humble followers or not. Don't worry, I'm not going to start over again. But I'm going to read the first scripture again, though. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, when the men of whatever nations came to the apostles at the day of Pentecost, said, What do we do? And they said, repent and be baptized. For the promise is unto you and unto your generations. Promise is sure. We have eternal life. Remember, Christ came to die. You know, the Creator put the plan of salvation into motion, knowing that someday He would have to come. And He did it. He didn't come kicking and screaming. He didn't fight. He came willingly because of His love, because of the love that the Father has for us. Can we do any less? Can we have any less love for one another than Christ has for us? So remember, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Christ came to give us hope, to give us the opportunity of eternal life with Him. The choice is ours. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He hold you. And may daily we strive to follow the example of Christ and to live that righteous life, that we can have salvation. So I want to see you all before the throne of God, happy, rejoicing. Thank you.